You're listening to the show that can help you with your sleep. It's The Sleep Show on the Talk of Connecticut with Dr. Bethany Brenner from Burlington Dental in Burlington, Connecticut. Dr. Brenner was selected as a top dentist by the Connecticut Magazine, recognized by Continental Who's Who as a top dentist for Connecticut for her role as an owner and dentist at Bethany B. Brenner, DMD, LLC, and for her outstanding of obtaining her mastership in Disclusion Time Reduction, DTR. She is the fourth person in the world to receive this title. But this show is about your sleep. If you have any issues sleeping with restless nights, as anyone knows who doesn't get the proper night's sleep, it throws off your whole day and your overall health. You can always get in touch with Dr. Bethany Brenner by emailing drbrennerradio@gmail.com or by calling 860-673-7155. That's 860-673-7155. You can also visit burlingtondentist.com. Now, Dr. Brenner. Good Saturday morning to you, and welcome to The Sleep Show. Alongside Dr. Bethany Brenner, I'm Gary Byron. You can find her online at theburlingtondentist.com. She is a dentist. Pay attention to this. I'm going to give you a phone number. I'm going to say it twice. You can get a free screening to the first five callers who call right now. 860-673-7155. Now, I know what you're saying. Jeez, Gary, slow down. I'm trying to write this down. Free screening. Ready? First five callers. I'm going to say it again. 860-673-7155. I'm going to repeat it. No worries. I'll repeat it again a couple more times before the show is over. And a little bit later on, I'm even going to give you an email address in there as well. Well, good morning, Doc. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you, too.
Ah, how was your week?
You ask me that all the time, and it's always busy.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. I mean, it's good to a certain extent. I mean, don't wear yourself out. What good would you be? You know, I've been there. I'm speaking from experience. Yeah. I used to burn a candle at both ends.
No, I don't do that.
That's good.
I pace myself.
Well, we all should be so fortunate to do that.
Well.
I do now, but I wouldn't even know what day it was. I was
I don't do that. Yeah.
Well, good.
Yeah. I mean, when the kids were little, it was a different story, but not anymore.
Well, when the kids are little, your life kind of revolves around them.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And being a dentist on top of it, I would imagine you want to talk about being pulled in every direction.
Well, my husband went to work early, and he would come home a little earlier. So he would get home like 4 o'clock, 4:30. And so I couldn't get out of there till after 5, and oftentimes it would be 6. But then I'd have to come home and cook dinner. So it was kind of like we kind of juggled that stuff. And so I started working. I stayed home during the day with the kids. And so I had a girlfriend who did like daycare in her home. So I did that 3 days a week. So I'd drop them off and pick them up. But then on the days I would go in later, I'd be home with them for 2 days. And then I'd go to work for 5. So he would come home early. His like ship's passing in the night.
Yeah, really?
He's coming in the door. Like. I'm going out the door. But that way I had a lot of time with the kids.
What do you do? Before I get into the topics for this morning, people, they've been listening to you now for months. And you know, they have a lot of your background. You've been very clear as in your background. It's a little insight into you, Bethany Brenner. Let's just like, what do you like to do as your hobbies? What do you do? You read? Do you?
Oh my God, I'm a voracious reader.
Hike? Do you travel?
Yep. I garden.
Oh, garden! There, I knew I'd get it eventually.
Yeah, no, I have a huge organic garden, and I paint.
My goodness, do you really?
Someday I'll have to show you some of my pictures. Yeah,
they hang oil, acrylic, water.
I do all of them. Mostly watercolor these days because I don't need to spend as much time. But yeah, I have huge oils in my office that I've done, pictures. Yeah, I'm getting better, but I haven't done as much of that in the last few years. I've done more gardening because I began to realize it was more important for me to grow my food.
Time. I mean, the time of season, though. Unless you have a greenhouse or...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, you're growing year-round then.
No. It gets pretty cold, and I don't have any heaters or anything in there. It's just really more for the spring. So when I get the plants, I can... And I used to start them from seed. I'm getting lazier because it totally took over my whole dining room. Oh. So I decided that I would go buy the plants. And then they're all telling me, no, you can't plant them yet. I'm like, yep, I'll put them in my greenhouse. So I put them in the greenhouse once all the snow is gone, because then I can't get out there to water them.
So you're gardening during the growing season, you know, and then in the winter you're doing your artwork, you're painting.
Yeah. Then nice. I can. Yeah. Good. But I also read a lot. And, you know, winter, I'm affected by the amount of sunlight. So I have what they call a seasonal affective disorder.
That's a real thing. Huh?
It's a real thing.
I didn't even know that existed. I do know. I believe in it. I was told a few years ago. Up till then, though, I was like, what? Yeah. What's this? I never heard of that.
I am more affected. So I have to be around some visible light, more of a spectrum. In my office, I put in daylight correcting lights so that it's not quite so depressing there. So I'm in there, and I'm in there. You know, it's not yellow light like a fluorescent light. Yeah. So, but I have a cousin who's so bad that she literally has to go and live in Florida for the winter because all she did was cry. So some people, you're on a spectrum of pretty bad to like not so bad. So I'm not I'm on the not so bad side. But on the gray days, and we certainly had plenty of that this winter.
You literally go to work and it's dark and you go home and it's dark.
Yeah, exactly. So I do better when there's more sunshine. I know.
I like to feel the warmth on my face.
We've talked about circadian rhythms. It's important to get the sunlight into your eyeballs.
I completely agree.
Yeah.
Doesn't it just put you, it just lifts me up. I get in such a good mood.
I agree. And in addition, I feel like I'm more energized. It's funny how that works.
Well, caffeine will do that.
Well, it helps too.
Hey!
Totally.
Well, I'm glad you shared that with me. I'm so glad I asked. Here we go. Is there a relationship, let's say, between periodontal disease and sleep apnea? I've got a follow-up question too. I'm going to ask you that first, though. And sleep apnea.
So we know that people who have sleep apnea, they mouth breathe more.
Right. Yeah.
And I will see two things. I'll either see periodontal disease or I'll see a lot of tooth decay. And some people, this is especially true for women who go into menopause. And I just had a woman that came in and I had told her she had an issue about 3 years ago. She's now 58. And she's like, oh, maybe I do. My husband tells me I snore now. So women who get into menopause, they skyrocket into sleep apnea, where they might have had it very mildly to almost not at all. And so now it becomes more of a problem. And so she's grinding her teeth really badly. She's whacking her front tooth. And she's like, but my tooth hurts. I'm like, yep. So this is going to sound really strange, but you get referral from sore muscles to teeth. Okay. So the last time I saw her 3 years ago when she complained about this, I actually numbed up her anterior temporalis muscle and the pain in her tooth went away.
Really?
So I know this is sound really weird, but there's a woman who's quite famous. She's passed away now, Janice Travell, and she did a complete book on what teeth are affected by what muscles. So we get a referral of pain to those. So she's grinding a lot, and her temporalis muscles, which are on the side of your, above your ears, if you will, kind of they go anterior, middle, and posterior sections, like a big fan. They will get sore. And just like if you're weightlifting and you're doing one muscle all the time, that muscle's going to get tired and sore. And so when you're doing this all night long, we have certain muscles that people invoke. And some are just those. We have the masseter muscles, which are the open, and they, you think you know those are opening and closing your mouth. But we also have a few others. And we also can get shoulder muscles and trapezius muscles that can refer to the face as well. So when people come in and they say, oh, I've got this pain of tooth over here and I see nothing there, I'm looking elsewhere. And then they're like, no, that can't be. That's how she was the first time. She's like, no. So I said, well, I'll numb it up. So I numbed up the muscle and the pain in her tooth went away. And she's like, no, that's not possible. Okay. So people don't get the connection. And we have dentists that don't understand the connection. And we certainly have physicians that don't know the connection. But these people, when you start to look at how this works, makes total sense in my world. Okay.
What about with high blood pressure?
Well, high blood pressure. So we've talked about what happens when you start to have issues during the night and getting more sleep apneic events, right? So heart rate is going up, right? Well, when the heart rate stays up, and if you're also not eating quality food, I'm going to sort of be a little more specific, or you're a little overweight, and we will go towards if the higher BMIs, basically your your
body mass index.
But it's the fat on the body that's really causing that issue, not muscle buildup. Okay, fat buildup. We will see more issues with how it affects your sleep apnea, right? So one of the things that I tell men in particular, because they did the study on men, was when they gain weight, they see their tummy a little bit. But before they see their tummy, like the beer drinkers, okay, you're going to see fat go on the back of the tongue, okay? And I know you think, well,
how do you see that?
Well,
you
don't.
Feel
that's,
it?
That's what the studies show us, because they are looking on certain kind of x-rays and MRIs.
Wow.
They measure that, okay? And they are measuring, and, you know, these studies were done a long time ago, actually, quite like 20 years ago. So when we know you're putting on belly weight, you know, waistline fat, okay, we already know that it's going on the back of your throat, on the back of your tongue. So they all thought, okay, so then if you have sleep apnea, we'll pull the tongue forward, thus the mandibular advancement devices, which I don't like. And I don't like for very specific reasons. Do I think they work for some? Yes, but you have to be very careful about how you do that. Because that will help close off the airway more. Now, when these people have these conditions, they're mouth breathing. Would you agree?
Yeah.
Okay. So we know they're mouth breathing. Now your mouth gets drier. Now that the tissues are swollen up with the fat, they get closer together.
And they restrict.
And they stick.
Yeah.
Now you get an apneic event. Okay. So the apneic events drive more dysregulation of your cortisol, which makes you more hungry when it's higher. It's a dysregulation of your appetite, how your body functions, the hormone signaling. We get more inflammatory markers. There's all this stuff that happens, right? So, and we've talked about these, and now you're looking at the circle of events. So when we see mouth breathing and we see more inflammatory cytokines, we know that periodontal disease, and this is for the periodontists out there who are listening, they need to be looking for sleep apnea. Okay, because these some fancy people are undiagnosed.
Hmm.
Okay, so it's not their fault entirely, although they look at them and they do form more plaque. They do form more stuff on their teeth. And it that kind of environment promotes very particular kinds of bacteria that like to live in the mouth and cause gum problems. Okay, so in particular, we call it P. gingivalis. That's the name of the bacteria. One of the other ones that we see, and we can test for this. I tested for many years. It didn't change what I treat. So I stopped testing because it's like, okay, I'm pretty sure you've got this. The Fusobacterium, when I find it in women, and especially when they're younger or haven't had children yet, I'm often warning them that upon childbirth, they need to make their OBGYNs aware that they carry the Fusobacterium, because these then get, they can affect a newborn, and these newborns can die from an infection of the Fusobacterium. So, and so if they're a carrier of it, you just need to be aware. So once again, really good home care can help with some of this.
Those, you were talking about BMI a moment ago. Those with a BMI or AHI of, let's say, 30 or more.
So that's a severe sleep apneic.
Right. So you said they had a 37% increase in HPB.
That's high blood pressure.
Okay. That's right. So are these interconnected?
Well, it's all connected. And the problem with that is that no one's looking for the sleep apnea. This is why I talk about it. So the periodontist should be looking for sleep apnea. If somebody's got high blood pressure, we need to be looking at it. They will see sometimes the weight gain, okay, which I go back to. So what are their inflammatory markers? And there's enough for physicians to look at, but they're also telling people, oh, just lose a little weight. Well, they're not looking for the sleep apnea again, okay? So we know the kidneys drive the high blood pressure. What drives the kidneys to have high blood pressure? Think about that, right? So if we're damaging the system when we're having a sleep apneic events, right, that's putting a stressor on the heart. The stressors on the heart are causing you to have more apneic events, because as you stop breathing, your oxygen is desaturating. That's another stressor. So you see, it's all interconnected, and that's why I go back to, why do I think I talk about food so much? I talk about food because it's sort of the crux at the beginning of it. And all of these little building blocks in there create the events, right? So can we reverse it? And the answer is we can. And there are a lot of doctors out there, especially the naturopaths, that understand that. I don't hear that coming from too much of the regular physicians. Some of the cardiologists are starting to see it. Some of the functional medicine guys are starting to see it. And because there are people who are talking louder and they're getting some YouTube channels. Well, but people go there for information, right? So it's not a bad thing. It's a good thing that they go in and ask their physicians, can you test me for sleep apnea? Okay. Should I get a test for sleep apnea? Sometimes they don't know. And so when they don't know, then they need to send it to somebody who can, like a good sleep physician. But the sleep physicians aren't asking all those questions either, necessarily. I think there's a lot of good ones out there. But some of the ones that I've also had back, it's like, oh, they're not bad enough to do anything
for. People just don't know who the good ones are from the
bad ones. Well, that's true. But part of it is that if you're not bad enough, their only treatment is a CPAP. Okay? So if they can't treat you with a CPAP because you're not bad enough, that doesn't mean you walk away and go do nothing. We need to find somebody who can then look at your mouth, look at for the signs that it need to be done, do a home sleep test. And sometimes when I see the home sleep test come from the physicians, they're not looking at the RDI value, which is your respiratory distress index. I don't even see it on the sleep test. Okay? That's really critical to how I'm going to look at the airway. And what do I need to do? And I follow up with
well,
that.
Well, all right, let me do this really quick. Folks, yeah. You are listening to The Sleep Show along with Dr. Bethany Brenner. I'm Gary Byron. You can find out more information on her at theburlingtondentist.com. And hold on, I told you I'd give you an email address. If you got something you want to contribute to the show, you got a comment, a question, a concern, something like that, why don't you just zip that over to Dr. Brenner Radio. That's B-R-E-N-N-E-R, drbrennerradio@gmail.com. And as I said earlier, how would you like a free screening? 860-673-7155. Write this number down. First five callers at 860-673-7155. You're going to get that free screening. So,
well, they need to also mention that
well, mention this show.
Yeah.
Right.
That
would
I'm just
going to.
Because my staff
where else would they have heard it from?
We get people who call.
It would only be here that it's being offered, the free screening's being offered.
Well, one hopes.
I heard it on the streets, man.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, I mean, I'm wondering, so who should be diagnosing this all? Because I would think that the doctor would be referring to a dentist, right? I would think that they would refer this issue to you
Some do. Some will say go see a dentist that does this, okay? But right. What I tend to find is that they just tell them you're not bad enough yet.
Even if the inflammatory markers are elevated?
Well, that's a really good question. Are they checking that? Okay? So when I go in, I ask for certain things when they do my blood work. Okay? Now, when you turn 65... the government wants you to die and get off the system.
No!
And so, like, for one thing, they won't check your vitamin D level, the one thing that we associate with osteoporosis and broken bones, okay? And they don't want to check the seniors who fall down, and that's really important, right? So, but they want to charge you $500 to get a vitamin D test after the age of 65. We can get those tests for $45, $50 through other methods. So I try to tell people you want to ask for certain things. And so I give them a list when they're in my office and I say, next time you're due for a physical, we need to make sure that we're checking on several things, right? Personally, the C-reactive protein is a good indicator of heart issues, okay? Can be. This reversible, that's nice to know. We often check your plaque levels, right? We're looking for your elevated cholesterols, right? Because a lot of cardiologists think that's the whole thing. I'm going to tell you, I don't think high cholesterol has ever killed anybody. However,
it'll clog your veins, though, right?
Well, that's what they tell you. But is it really what's doing it? So I look at things more like LDL to LDL ratio, right? We have all got a little bit of lipoprotein A or a lipoprotein B. We've all got a little bit of that. What's the ratio? But the big thing is, are you in insulin resistance? Okay, we've talked a little bit about that, not too much, but insulin resistance. And you want to look at your triglycerides. Those are the things that tell me that you've got a problem. And do you have a fatty liver? Right? Those will drive your blood pressure. Those will drive your heart disease a little faster. There's a new screening. I'm going to get one, I think, pretty soon. And they're going to scan my carotids. And they can now, they've got a very sophisticated ultrasound screening that they can tell how old the plaque is and how much I have of it. So have I been laying it down a little at a time? And do I have very little? And people think once you've got it, you can't get rid of it. That's not true either. We can reverse it. It's a little trickier, takes a little longer, but you can, by changing how you eat and taking certain things, we can reverse some of that plaque, that old plaque. But the carotids are a good place because they tend to throw off the clots that give us a stroke, right? If there's one thing that scares me more than a heart attack, it's a stroke. Because it's incapacitating. It may not kill you, but it will incapacitate you severely.
Some of those times could be forever.
Right.
Not always, but...
Well, people die of strokes, that's
for sure.
But they also get
paralysis,
a lot of people...
too.
Right. But you also get people who get strokes and then they're in a nursing home for the rest of their life. Okay. Like my mother. So, and she was a diabetic. And the fourth stage of diabetes is Alzheimer's. So when I talk about why we eat a certain way, like I just don't eat sugar stuff. Okay. I'm very, very funny. I count my carbs and people look at me and they're like, that's too hard to do. Well, after you start to get into a routine, it's not that hard. Right. So my brother's been doing it now. He's lost over 40 pounds. He's reversed his diabetes because he got diagnosed last summer with it. Then he's already off of one of the two blood pressure medications. It's that kind of thing. And he's like, I don't measure anything. He does watch his carbs. He's now figured out. And then they get an easy job. They have 50 carbs or less a day. And they will lose the weight very quickly. Women who are in menopause... It sucks to be us. Excuse my French. We have to have 20 carbs or less in order for us to lose weight.
Oh, boy.
Okay. So you have to be a little stricter. And people don't want to give up their bread. They don't want to give up their greens. They don't want to give up their pasta. And they all look at me. And my weakness is pasta.
Yeah,
but I got
to
tell you,
admit.
I stay away from it. I have to go like, nope.
Or a piece of bread, huh?
Nope. Don't do it.
Crackers?
Nope.
Rice?
Nope.
All starches. They're gone.
Yeah. They're out of my diet. I save all of my 20 carbs for my dinner. Okay.
You're obviously not Italian.
But I love pasta. So it's really hard, right? But they have other things. Oh. We do have other foods that we can substitute in there. So it's, I don't lose out, but it's definitely different.
Well, folks, I mean, look, this is why it's so important to be checked frequently. And you know, I go for an annual, in fact, I'm due next month in April. We're in April now. Oh, my goodness. The end of this month. I already have the appointment scheduled. I'm going for my physical, my yearly. But sometimes I'm hearing, like, as you age, could be every 3 months, especially if you're starting to show signs of, like, some of these perio problems.
So that's where you need to go to the dentist more frequently. So if the dentist or hygienist is telling you, you know, you're bleeding a little more, you've got some deeper pockets, you're losing bone, those are the first signs that we should, are we checking you for sleep apnea? Are we checking your inflammatory markers? So usually I ask them to bring in their blood work, right? So now, because people can get access on their phone, they'll look it up and we can look at the phone together.
But I thought that's caused from people who brush too hard.
No, bleeding gums.
No. There's no correlation between brushing too hard and your gums bleeding?
Well, could you damage yourself? Yeah, but most people, it hurts. It's painful to do that. So they don't do that. Right. What I tend to find is the disease is underground. It's a chronic situation. So when we're checking and I see 4, 5, 6 millimeter pockets, you got periodontal disease. OK, sometimes if we're at the beginning, you'll see a 4 or 5 and it'll bleed. Sometimes they got a fishbone stuck or a popcorn kernel stuck. Well, we clean those up. It should clear up and reattach within a couple of weeks. But people ignore it. And they don't floss and they don't brush and they're not paying attention. And so when I look at tissues, there's a grading system that we use. Are you pink? Are you red? Are you boggy? Are you firm? Are you bleeding? Are you not bleeding? Okay. So when we go around, if you're bleeding just a tiny little bit, barely, okay, you need your teeth cleaned. All right. That makes sense, right? That's what you're there for. You're there for that preventive maintenance. But if you're gushing blood and I get those to come in, and I tell them, you need to come in every 2, maybe 3 months. I have some that do that. I also have some that come every 4 months. But some people only want to pay for, basically, they don't want to pay out of pocket, and their insurance isn't going to cover the extra cleanings, and they won't do it. So I'm looking at people who are going to lose their teeth. It's just a matter of when.
It's going to be like pay me now or pay me later.
Yeah. And it's more expensive.
It's going to be more expensive later. Yeah.
Right. And this is what they don't get. And plus, chewing with your own food, if you like chewing meat, you like your steaks, you like your hamburgers, you like your chicken patties, you like to eat food that requires a little bit of chewing. You need to be able to take care of those teeth.
There's only so much soup and Jell-O one can consume, okay?
Or pudding.
Exactly.
Because that's what they start to go for. They go for the high-carb, soft food, like mashed potatoes.
2 minutes remaining.
Oh, dear.
I know.
Okay.
I know.
So it is important to get checked. So when we're looking, as we've been talking about, so high blood pressure, we should be checking you for sleep apnea. Periodontal issues that are cropping up and just starting, we need to check you for sleep apnea. Now, people are in a spectrum, right? Some are not so bad to really bad. But if it's not so bad, we can reverse a lot of this. And we can actually, I pull people out of mild to moderate sleep apnea and pull them down into almost nothing by fixing the things that we need to fix, right? So I can provide them with a good appliance. If their teeth are pretty in pretty good shape, I had one lady who was 78 years old, having a lot of pain in her face, and we made her an appliance, and in 1 week she had no more pain. She's like, oh my God, I love this thing. And she's sleeping really well, okay? But she was already doing a lot of the right things. Her sister was a gluten-free eater. She was a celiac. She wasn't a celiac, but I said, maybe because you're of the same family, same genetics, maybe try going gluten-free and see how you do. Well, I saw her a few months later, and she's like, oh, what a difference. I have people who have IBS. And those guys who are out there, they know what that is. You want to go more grain-free, and you're going to find that your IBS clears up.
All right. We got to wrap this up. Folks, if you'd like more information on this topic or any of the others that we've covered, if you've been listening to the show for any period of time, head on over to the website, theburlingtondentist.com, theburlingtondentist.com. Also, the email that I gave you a little while ago. Got a question, comment, concern, just want to zip something over. We'd love to hear from you. Send it to drbrennerradio@gmail.com. It's Dr. Brenner is B-R-E-N-N-E-R, drbrennerradio@gmail.com. And as I tell, this is new here. So, folks, if you'd like, the first five callers, if you'd like to have a free screening, got to mention that you heard it on this show, but it's a free screening for to the first five callers. I would say call right now, 860-673-7133. One more time. Ready? Write it down. I'm going to say it slow. 860-673-7155. For Dr. Bethany Brenner, I'm Gary Byron. Thank you so much for listening to The Sleep Show. Until next weekend, have a good one, everybody. So long. You've been listening to the show that can help you with your sleep. It's The Sleep Show here on The Talk of Connecticut with Dr. Bethany Brenner from Burlington Dental in Burlington, Connecticut. If you have any issues sleeping with restless nights, as anyone knows who doesn't get the proper night's sleep, it throws off your whole day and your overall health. Listen to The Sleep Show every weekend at this time for a better night's sleep. You can always get in touch with Dr. Bethany Brenner by emailing drbrennerradio@gmail.com or by calling 860-673-7155. That's 860-673-7155 or visit theburlingtondentist.com.